The views on this program do not necessarily represent the views of this station.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. This is number 50 for last week. I'm Matthew Hamley. I appreciate you tuning in. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of a sensitive topic facing our world today and the church as well. And that is the idea of racism, particularly with the Black Lives Matter movement. They're coming for the statues, and now they're coming for the churches. We'll have more on that in just a minute, but of course, we'll start with your headlines.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Tennessee seems to be breaking previous molds to show others what can be done with pro-life law. New legislation seeks to counter the rhetoric of abortion practice and restrict abortion practice to whatever courts allow. And now, as Tennessee Governor Bill Lee waits to sign legislation banning or alternatively restricting abortion, he is busy showing citizens the implications of this new law and helping to change the culture of Tennessee. One implication of the law is that doctors in the abortion industry would face felony charges for violating Tennessee's abortion restrictions. This is Life News Radio. The myth of back alley abortions is replaced today by the myth of safe abortion. In both cases, the myths hide the reality of doctors hurting women by abortion. Louisiana OBGYN Dr. Damon Cudahy says the reality is that abortionists shuffle injured women off to emergency room doctors who are forced to play detective to discover a post-abortive woman's full story. That is the same myth behind so-called back alley abortions that endures to today. Dr. Cudahy and other pro-life advocates are hopeful the U.S. Supreme Court will soon uphold a simple law requiring abortionists to earn admitting privileges and refer their patients. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thank you all so much for tuning in to last week. I'm Matthew Handley. This is a local Catholic production of the Epic Radio Network in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and we provide local programming to stations across North Carolina, particularly Catholic stations. And we'd like to talk about the news and the issues facing us from a Catholic perspective. So that's what we try to do here. We also feature some culture topics, and we'll have some more of that probably in the second part of this program. A couple of the things that we're seeing in the world today is particularly that relate to us here in North Carolina is the removal of Confederate statues and monuments. For those of you that live in the Wake Forest area and in Raleigh, you're aware that the Confederate statues downtown, because there's a big Confederate monument downtown, protesters tore down those statues on Sunday night, two of the statues that were there. And the governor ordered, as a public safety concern, to have the bigger monument, which is a giant concrete obelisk, to be taken down as well as the other statues that are on the Capitol grounds to Confederate soldiers. Also, the statue to Confederate women was taken down as well. I'm not going to argue whether or not that's worthwhile our time, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. That's not really the point of this program. But it's interesting that we're seeing this happening again. If you recall a couple years ago, after the Ferguson, Missouri shooting, protesters tore down the Confederate statue in front of the Durham County Courthouse in Durham County. And a couple years later, you saw Silent Sam, which was a statue honoring Confederate students of UNC, on the UNC Chapel Hill campus, was taken down as well. And you had people on both sides protesting for that. It's the same issues what brought about what happened at Charlottesville in the famously misquoted part of the president saying that there was good people on both sides, and then he immediately follows with, except for white supremacists, they have no place in our society. So there's valid arguments, I believe, on both sides. North Carolina has a law. It was passed under the Pat McCrory administration that statues and monuments and public art to anything cannot be taken down without an act of the state legislature, unless it is a public safety concern. That was the case for them taking down the Silent Sam statue on UNC's campus. That was the governor's case now for taking down the Confederate Monument statue in downtown Raleigh. Again, you can argue both sides of whether or not that's a good thing. I have my opinions, as I'm sure you do. I'm not really going to get into that part of the discussion on this program. But what is interesting now is that the Black Lives Matter movement, which started this whole tear down monuments thing, has expanded to, quote unquote, canceling other things. And it's a part of the greater cancel culture that we see in our society. And for those of you that really aren't aware what cancel culture is, it's the idea that we are going to cancel a program. It started with TV programs, which is how it got started. We're going to cancel a TV program because the person in the program said something we didn't like. I think the most notorious example was the fact that Dukes of Hazzard was taken off of TV Land because it has the Confederate flag on the roof of the car. Later on, you had Roseanne Barr say stuff that people didn't really like, and then they canceled her reboot show a couple years ago on ABC. Last Man Standing was canceled on ABC for having basically a pro-Christian episode where Tim Allen's character says that he's going to go to his daughter's college and talk only about Jesus and only about all these other things because they gave him a list of things he couldn't talk about. The show was later picked up and is still on the air on Fox, which is now owned by Walt Disney, which also owns ABC. So you can figure out that one where they decide where the business decision came. There. But cancel culture has broadened out to include more than just TV and media. It has included now silencing people on social media. You see Twitter do this by banning certain conservative and religious speakers. That counts as part of the cancel culture. You're canceling someone's ability to speak and to say what they think. Of course, you could argue that Twitter is a private company and they have the right to do that because they're a social media platform and they have the right to control what content goes on there. That issue is being taken up by the Congress now in Washington, and I'll be interested to see how that plays out. Another instance has been taking down these statues. We don't want to talk about our history. You don't want to talk about why these statues were put up. And instead, take them down. They're offensive. Maybe they are, and if they are, sure, take them down. Do so it the right way, though. Don't tear them down into a mob of people like they did on Sunday in Raleigh. That's my main criticism right now, is that they were torn down in by a mob and not, you know, through the legal process. Cancel culture now seems to be coming for the churches, particularly the Catholic Church. And you could argue that the cancel culture came to the Catholic Church with the rise of the sexual abuse scandals, and actually more recently, the false allegations and the false conviction of George Pell in Australia, Cardinal George Pell, who, if you're not aware of that story, he was convicted of molesting a child as a priest and as a bishop in Australia. And as it turns out, the prosecutors made up evidence and withheld exculpatory evidence that would have proved his innocence. And because of that, the Australian High Court eventually overturned the ruling, and he is now a free man. But anyway, the cancel culture seems to be coming more for the church now in the idea of art and pictures. For those of you that don't know who this is, Sean King is an American writer, civil rights activist, and the co-founder of Real Justice PAC. I am not familiar with really what he has done before, other than he's instrumental in the Black Lives Matter movement. I believe he's one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, or he's worked with them in some way. He appears on frequently on the Young Turks, which is a very progressive online news network, cable news network. And recently he put out a tweet that I thought was, because now everything, we're talking about race with regards to everything. He put out a tweet earlier this week that kind of struck me, and as someone pointed out to me on Facebook the other day. He says, "Yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim is Jesus should also come down. They are a form of white supremacy, always have been. In the Bible, when the family of Jesus wanted to hide and blend in, guess where they went? Egypt, not Denmark. Tear them down." And that's a direct quote from Sean King's Twitter account earlier this week on June 22nd. There's a lot to unpack here. Other than a very old German picture children's Bible that I have at home, I have never seen an image of Nordic Jesus used in sacred art, in a church, or in any sort of modern publication. Jesus may appear pale in some of these depictions of him, but what you have to remember, and he also at some point later talks about the European Mary, which it goes along with the same thing. Jesus and Mary were Jewish. There have been people who have tried to claim that Jesus was black, that he was an Arab. Jesus and Mary were Jewish. They are a different race from the Arabs. You can ask any Jew that today. Heck, go to Israel and look at the Jews that live in Israel compared to the Arabs that live in Palestine, who both claim to have occupied that land for millennia. So that's the first problem here, is that Sean King is falsely equating Jesus to be white and not Jewish, and claiming that this is white supremacy. Of course, I could argue on a number of circumstances that the progressive movement, particularly the Democrat Party, continues to be more and more anti-Semitic. So perhaps to them it is white supremacy because they don't like Jews anyway. Then he says in the Bible, when the family of Jesus went to hide and blend in, guess where they went? Egypt. Well, Jews wouldn't really have blended in Egypt. I suppose that there were probably Jews that lived in Egypt as traders. But they went to Egypt primarily because Herod and for the most part, the Romans didn't really have a hold over Egypt. They could escape Herod from killing all the children by going to Egypt because Herod had no rule over Egypt. Additionally, they are told to go to Egypt. They don't decide to go to Egypt because they blend in there. An angel tells St. Joseph in a dream, go to Egypt. In the middle of the night. And actually, there's a lot of great homilies about that. It shows Joseph's trust in God because it wasn't a, hey, we got to wake up and wait until the next morning to tell Mary that we need to go to Egypt. It was that night they immediately got up and left and went to Egypt. The final thing that is extremely problematic in here, perhaps the most problematic other than his just false understanding of who Jesus was, is his command to tear them down. You have to remember, the calls for tearing down Confederate statues are generally for Confederate statues that are on public land. Silent Sam is on the University of North Carolina campus at Chapel Hill, and that's public land because it's a public university. It's paid for with tax dollars. The Confederate monuments in downtown Raleigh are on public land because it's on the Capitol grounds, which is paid for by tax dollars. Matthew Pope spoke a few weeks ago about the Confederate monument in Salisbury, which I believe the city council decided they were going to tear down and move. That's on public land, which is paid for American tax dollars. Statues and images, particularly in stained glass windows and crucifixes that hang in churches, are not on public property. They're on private property and in private churches. So what he seems to be calling for here, and I doubt he's listening to this program, but if he is, he can clarify if he would like. What he seems to be calling for here is marching into private property and vandalizing it. Marching into churches and tearing down our crucifixes and desecrating our art and statues. He seems to also only think that this is an American problem. If you've never been to the Vatican Museum, when Italy becomes a safe country to travel to again, take the opportunity and go to the Vatican Museum and see the inside of St. Peter's Basilica and see the inside of the Sistine Chapel and see all the artwork that is in the Vatican Museum. You will find very similar religious and liturgical art here in the United States, especially in our museums. especially at the Basilica of the Shrine of National Conception in Washington. Or if you're ever in London, which is one of my favorite places to go, if you ever go to London, you can go to the National Gallery there, and go. They have a lot of religious artwork. And it looks a lot like what he thinks is white people, but they're not. They're Jewish. His call to trespass into private property and vandalize private property is wrong. But this has been the call of the Black Lives Matter movement all along, it seems. It never has really seemed to be about black lives. Even on their website, they talk about how they're all trained Marxists. It's a Marxist organization. It's a Marxist organization. And what do Marxists want to do? They want to overthrow capitalist and democratic regimes. Here's the other quote from Sean King on Twitter earlier this week. He says, yes, all murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother and their white friends should also come down. They are a gross form of white supremacy. Again, you know, I just talked about this. They are not of white people. They're of Jews who may appear pale, but they are, in fact, not white. They're Jewish. You could probably go as far as to say that Jesus was brown, as I believe Billy Graham once said in a speech in South Africa. He said that Jesus was neither white nor black, but he was a brown man. Because he was Jewish and he grew up in the Middle East. All right, I ran long a little bit on this segment, so we are going to take a break. I've got more thoughts on this. You're listening to Last Week from Epic Radio. I'm Matthew Handley, back in 60 seconds. Last Week is sponsored by Fulcrum Strategies. Fulcrum Strategies is a Raleigh-based company that advocates on behalf of doctors through the insurance negotiation process. You can contact them over the phone at 919-436-3377 or by visiting them on the web, fsdoc.com. Fulcrum Strategies, 15 years of superior provider advocates. Thank you for supporting Last Week.
Abortion is called an intrinsic ill because, unlike many other issues, there is no way to make the direct killing of the most innocent right or moral. It's why there is so much to learn about defending human life in the context of today's acceptance of illicit sex and our willingness to cover up its consequences. Each day, dozens of stories at lifenews.com not only give you the news you need, but the ability to respond well to a culture of death. Visit lifenews.com today.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Matthew Handley. I appreciate you tuning in to Last Week today. We were talking about vandalism and tearing down statues. I've got three stories I want to briefly touch on, and then a story about the president. About vandalism of various statues, religious statues, for the Black Lives Matter movement, or just in protests in general. Catholic news agency is reporting that a man was arrested and charged with vandalism and assault after swastikas were painted on the graves of several Dominican friars and a security guard was assaulted at a Catholic college on Monday evening. A statement from Father Brian J. Shanley, OP, and Father Kenneth Sickert, OP, the president and president-elect of Providence College in Rhode Island, said that around 9:30 on Monday, public safety officers were alerted to the presence of a suspicious man on the campus cemetery. The cemetery contains the grave sites of deceased Dominican friars who taught at the school. They had painted swastikas in anti-Catholic language on the cemetery's central cross and on several of the headstones, and were actively burning American flags that stood at some of the grave sites. Seven headstones were defaced, along with the central cross. He was arrested and charged. That's one instance. That's on the East Coast in Rhode Island. In California, a statue of Catholic missionary Saint Junipero Serra was toppled in a San Francisco park on Friday, along with statues of Francis Scott Key and Ulysses S. Grant. The statues were torn down on Friday evening from Golden Gate Park by a group of about 100 people. During the 18th century, the saint founded 9 Catholic missions in the area that would later become California. Many of those missions would go on to be the centers of major California cities. Serra helped convert thousands of native Californians to Christianity and taught them new agricultural technologies. The statue in Golden Gate Park was placed in 1907 and was crafted by well-known American sculptor Douglas Titan. Critics have lambasted Sarah as a symbol of European colonialism and said that the missions engaged in forced labor of Native Americans, sometimes claiming that Blessed Sarah was himself abusive. However, Sarah frequently intervened, according to biographers, for Native people when they faced persecution from Spanish authorities, and in one case, the priest intervened to spare the lives of several California natives who attacked a Spanish outpost. A lot of people don't realize this about California, that the missions there, particularly in Santa Barbara, San Francisco, that they were the center of the town. I mean, if you go to Santa Barbara now, that's what it's named after, is the Santa Barbara Mission, and it's this giant church up on the top of the hill. If you ever go out to California. So that's another instance. Going now to Europe, Catholic News Agency is reporting, the mayor of a Dutch town has condemned vandals who defaced an image of Our Lady of Chechua and daubed the letters BLM beneath it. Paul Depla, the mayor of Breda, a city in the southern Netherlands, said that the incident was particularly sad for the Polish community, for which the monument is of great value. The image of Our Lady, which is revered by Poles, is also known as the Black Madonna and was erected in the park in Breda in 1954 in thanksgiving for the city's liberation from the Nazis. Essentially, it's a big icon of Our Lady in the park, and it was defaced earlier this week. And see, that's the thing, is that, you know, Sean King likes to talk about tearing down White Mary statues. This is an image of the Black Madonna. How does that make sense? I mean, come on, enlighten me, please. But this brings us to another topic that I wanted to talk about, in how Jesus and Mary have both appeared to different people throughout the ages as different races. The best examples I can think of with Our Lady would be Our Lady of Louvain. She appears as Asian, holding an Asian child. Another instance here in the United States from the 1800s, servant of God Blackfoot Black Elk, who is part of the Lakota tribe in South Dakota, had a vision of Jesus who appeared as a Lakota, saying that you need to bring the Lakota people to Christ. You need to bring him to me. And he's now in the canonization process. So he needs to, I suppose he might say that he's only talking about images, that the images are wrong, but the images really aren't wrong, and you have instances of people defacing images that are exactly the type of images that he seems to claim that he wants to keep. So that's a little bit confusing to me there. I want to hear from you. If you have comments on this topic, you can email me, mhandley@weareepic.org, mhandley@weareepic.org. Comment on our Facebook page, or you can send me a voice message, and I might feature it on the program, by going to anchor.fm/lastweek, anchor.fm/lastweek. The other thing I wanted to briefly talk about, President Trump appeared on an EWTN news interview with Raymond Arroyo on The World Over, and he talks about his pro-life values. Arroyo, this is from the Catholic News Agency, asked Trump whether or not presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is pro-life, noting that some Catholics claim Biden is a pro-life candidate because of his opposition to the death penalty and his efforts to end climate change, while claiming Trump is not pro-life. Trump said, I'm totally in favor of the death penalty for heinous crimes. I'm pro-life and he's not, and the Democrats, look at who he's putting on the court. This is a direct quote from President Trump. They want to put people on the court, you have no chance. So I'm pro-life, the Democrats aren't. Nobody can say that Biden is. Look at his stance over the years. He also said that he would advance a pro-abortion agenda if Biden is elected to the White House. He also pointed to Governor Ralph Northam in Virginia. He said, look at the governor. Look at what he did. He did an execution after. You know, normally people talk about late term. His wasn't late term. His was the baby was born, and then you can execute the baby.
Life News That's Radio is a production of LifeNews.com and is used with permission.
To a certain extent, He's exactly right. That is what Ralph Northam said. Joe Biden is also not a pro-life candidate, as the Democrat Party does not want pro-life candidates, as we've talked about on a number of different occasions here on this program. I do want to make a note, because someone may come this way and accuse me of being too political on a not-for-profit radio station. I'm not going to tell you what way to vote, but I am going to bring you the Catholic perspective on issues. I'm going to present to you what both people have done coming up through this election cycle. I'm going to tell you that Joe Biden, who claims he's Catholic, advocates and campaigns on issues in favor of issues that are contrary to church teaching, such as abortion, the abortion being the majority of it. I cannot in good conscience come on the radio and not say that for fear of being called a political or stepping out of where you think my bounds should be. I will tell you honestly where people stand. Trump, yeah, he was pro-choice at one time, but right now he's the only president that has ever gone to the March for Life. He's one of the only presidents that has actually actively worked to defund Planned Parenthood. And whether you like it or not, whether you think he's only doing it for political gain or not, he's still doing it. And at this point, I think we ought to be grateful and thank God for every victory that we get on this front. Even if it's not in the way we want, even if it's not the victory that we want, even if it's not the overall victory. Joe Biden is not pro-life. His campaign values are incompatible with church teaching. There are other stories I want to talk to today that I'm seeing as headlines on Catholic News Agency on catholicnewsagency.com. I encourage you to check them out. They've got a lot of good stories during this time, especially when it seems like we're tired of local news, we're tired of national news because it covers the same crap over and over again, and we want to move on to something else. So if you want something different to read, I encourage you to check out catholicnewsagency.com, check out lifenews.com, and any other website, relevantradio.com. Check out all these websites. Just if you want something different to read, and if you want to focus on your faith more, check out these websites. I'm Matthew Handley. Thank you for tuning into the program this week. I'd love to hear your feedback. You can email me at mhandley@weareepic.org. mhandley@weareepic.org. Comment on our Facebook page or send me a voice message at anchor.fm/lastweek. For all of us here at Epic Radio in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and for all of you listening across North Carolina, thank you very much and have a great week.